Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 23, and we have been reading about the different festivals of God for the nation of Israel to celebrate and to honor the Lord. And one of the things that Pete and I were talking about in the office a few minutes ago is thinking about the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, all these different festivals that the Lord had scheduled throughout the calendar year, how he set up the Israelites for success. You understand what I mean by that? Of he had all of these protocols in place that would make it very easy to continually keep the Lord before the Israelites. And you know, he does the same thing for us today in that he has set us up for success. The only thing we need to do is to cooperate with him and to keep our mind on him. And we see, we can't be too hard on the Israelites. We see what happens when they got their minds and their attention focused on themselves and others, how detrimental it was. We have all, I'm sure, personally experienced the detriment that occurs when we get our mind off of the Lord and put it on ourselves or the circumstances or other people. And so I appreciate this. To me, when I first read about all these festivals, I thought, wow, that's a lot to keep up with. But now I'm looking at it through a different lens of, wow, he set them up for success.
You can really see this confirmed in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Yeah.
Because he tells them, my paraphrase, if you'll keep your attention on all these statutes and ordinances that I've given you, and you'll put these things into practice, then you'll be blessed. Mm-hmm. And you'll be the head, not the tail, and so on. That their success was contingent upon putting God first.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did that, they could not help but be successful. Because God keeps his promises. If you'll do this, then this is what I'll do. But their success was contingent upon keeping the promises of God. Well, it's the same way with the believer. God has made provision for us, but whether we enjoy the provisions is contingent upon our obeying the Word of God and doing what the Spirit of the Lord is guiding us to do. And so it is a recipe for success. But how many of you know that if you want something to turn out right, you have to follow the recipe?
Yeah, that's true.
If it says one spoonful, it doesn't mean 10 or a half. It means exactly what it says. And God is so intelligent, believe it or not, that he means what he says, and he says what he means. And all we need to do is just resign to that fact, and he's smarter than we are. He's been around longer than us. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing I told Heather I wanted to mention before we start back up is concerning these festivals. Where we're talking about the first days of Sabbath and the eighth day of Sabbath. A holy convocation, no servile work and all this. It just means no common labor. You rest on those days. That did not negate the regular Sabbath. And so that's every seventh day of the week, that day of rest, that Sabbath, those offerings were mandated. They had to go to the priest had to offer these offerings just like they'd been mandated every Sabbath, even during these festival times. The Sabbath, the seventh day, had to be honored. And so you think about this, there may be several days there they're not working. Right? What are they doing? They're putting God first. But what happens when you put God first? The provision's there. It's just like with the manna. He says, you know, on the sixth day, gather twice as much. But don't go out on that seventh day. It's not going to be there. I want you to rest. And you'll have sufficient. And when they did what God said, God's word proved to be true. But some thought, no, we'll go out on the seventh day. And God's not making the provision on that seventh day. He says, rest. Rest. Follow my ways. Follow my ways. Rest in me. And it's interesting that the writer of Hebrews says labor to enter into the rest. You have to make yourself rest in the Lord, because the natural tendency is to work. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Now, I have to work at that because I am I'm made to work. I tell people I was born to work. And so I have to make myself not work to give time to God. That's why on Sundays I like to spend the day here. To spend the day here, not doing anything as far as physical labor goes, but spend time with the Lord, resting in the Lord. And it's so peaceful. I mean, that's incredible. I love it. You understand? And if we'll do it God's way, you'll find that, man, this is good. This is right. And the amazing thing is, you get what needs to be accomplished done.
That's good.
Right.
It's the truth. You can. Yes. Okay. We ready? Verse 35? I think.
Which verse are we in?
35. Chapter 23, 35. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. You were just talking about that.
Remember, that's a sacred assembly. Holy convocation is where the people assemble themselves together. It's an appointment with the Lord, and that's counted sacred. And they were not allowed to work that day. In other words, the attention is on the Lord, not on you. And our problem is we keep attention on ourselves rather than on the Lord. That was Israel's problem, and that's why they ended up going into captivity, because they weren't honoring God.
Verse 36, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, it is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein.
Now notice, they're offering to the Lord during those 7 days. But then they're to, that seventh day, they're to rest, or not to do any work. In other words, it's just a fact of recognizing God. Present your offerings to the Lord. But then there's a time that you rest.
Now the priests are working.
Excuse me?
The priests are working. They're having to work. Verse 37.
Because God ordained it.
That's exactly right.
But they worked in shifts. Mm. You understand?
Yeah.
They had days on, days off.
Verse 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you give unto the Lord.
So during these festivals, sacred assemblies were to be called, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, drink offerings were to be presented to the Lord at the proper time. And these festivals were in addition to the regular Sabbath, like we said earlier. Plus, the offerings presented during these festivals were also in addition to the sacrificial offerings or the vow offerings or the voluntary offerings given to the Lord. It's not that you let one go to do the other. You're doing it all. God's worthy. You understand? He's worthy.
Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath.
So on the 15th day, so we're still with the 15th day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on that 15th day of that 7th month, after they'd gathered the harvest, they would observe this festival for 7 days. Now, the first day and the 8th day were days of rest. And at that time, no one was allowed to work. And so because that's on the 15th day, I know that there's going to be periods of time that there's also the regular Sabbath in that week. And then there are times when the Sabbath may fall on a Sabbath. You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, the 15th fall on the 7th day.
Verse
40. So that would have the people really resting, right?
Yeah. Don't rest. And you shall take you on the first day of the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days.
Now notice that this festival of tabernacles is a time of rejoicing in contrast to atonement, which is a time of affliction, of humbling yourself. You humble yourself because of your sin. But think about that temporary dwelling. You came out of the sin, you're on a journey, and look at where you're going. And so this is a time of rejoicing. I came out of Egypt. I came out of sin. I've been delivered from bondage. So it's a time of rejoicing. So they, and one of the ways they were to do it, or the way, was good branches from fruit trees, leaves of palm trees, and limbs from the leafy trees and willows of the brook. They were to take these things I don't understand all the culture of it, but that's a way of celebration. Rejoicing before the Lord. The blowing of trumpets. What are we rejoicing about? Harvest. Right?
Yeah. Verse 41. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month.
Now it keeps iterating this. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
That is to be celebrated 7 days every year, and is perpetual law throughout their generations. And Here again, he says, seventh month, every year, seventh month, every year. This is one of the required feasts.
Mm-hmm.
There were three required feasts. This was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what they are? Are you sitting there guessing? How about Passover and Pentecost? And I think there's some significance in all this. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. That's three divine appointments that every male in Israel was to make annually. Three divine appointments. Is Passover a divine appointment?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Need to keep that one.
How about Pentecost?
Yeah.
How about Tabernacles?
Yes.
These are divine appointments with the Lord.
Yes.
Pointing to. You need the blood applied.
Mm-hmm.
You need the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And then you need to recognize that this is not permanent here. This body's not permanent. We're headed somewhere. This is getting us somewhere else. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But while we're at home in the body, we're representing the Lord, right?
Good. Verse 42. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Now, from this verse, or these verses, you can understand why I said what I did earlier, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, here again, during this Festival of Tabernacles, they were to live in booths, which was just simply temporary dwellings. And the 7 days, now this is what he's saying. This is the reason you're doing this to these Israelites. So that the future generations, in other words, your children, their children, on and on and on, that they would know that the Lord had made the descendants of Israel to dwell in booths when he delivered them from the land of Egypt. Right? So it's putting them in remembrance of where they had come from. And how they dwelt in these temporary dwellings till they got into the promised land. And then when he finished these instructions, he said, I'm the Lord your God. Many times in this he says, I'm the Lord your God. We need to keep before us who the Lord our God is. It's not you. And it's not some false God. But it's the Creator God. The one who made me deserves to be worshipped by me and obeyed. Right? Okay.
You know, Pete just said a phrase that jumped out at me, so that we remember where we came from, so that they remember where they came from. And I thought, we all need to remember where we came from. Otherwise, we forget our testimony.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to share with
people. And the key there is you came from.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stay there.
That's right.
You can't dwell on your past, but it's healthy to remember where God brought you from and where you are today. That should make you praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that right now, you know. It's healthy to remember where you're from, but it's unhealthy to dwell on your past.
Right.
Okay? Thank God I've been delivered from things of the past. Amen.
Amen.
That's mercy.
Yes. Verse 44, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord.
So here again, the leader of the nation is to teach the citizens of the nation, okay, these laws. In other words, they don't know what to do if they're not told what to do. This is a problem today. It starts in the home with small children. They have to be taught. In order to know what to do, they have to be taught what to do. Mm-hmm. Because the natural propensity for anyone is to sin. And so you have to be taught to do right. You have to be taught you need a Savior and who your Savior is. Okay? And so when you look at that in a home life, but then when you look at it in a church life, then the church has a responsibility to teach people the Word of God. Not what some committee says or some organization says, but what does God say? And the fallacy of churches today is the same thing that Israel fell prey to, not teaching the Word of God. And so we have to teach the Word. The Word. He didn't just give this book as recommendation. This is instruction by which we're to live. You understand? And it's not optional reading. It's really mandatory reading. And if you make it an option, it's to your detriment. Man shall not live by bread alone. So how does man live? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, this came from the mouth of God originally, before men started putting their own private interpretations to it. You follow me? Teach them. That puts responsibility on the leadership. How can you teach what you don't know? So that means study is imperative. That's not optional. It's something you need to do. Otherwise, you can misrepresent God. And the leader of the church is actually God's messenger to the church. What does a messenger do? He doesn't come up with the message. He conveys the message. But look at how many people are coming up with the message because they haven't gotten the message from God. We have to get into the presence of God. We have to get our counsel from God. We have to communicate with God. Otherwise, we're not going to give the message of God.
Excellent.
Teach him.
Now we're going to transition into more teaching. We're going to start, instead of reading the scriptures here, now that we've laid this foundation of the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, let's take a deeper look at these festivals and their significance, what they mean.
So the festivals, and I'm going to call them festivals, not feasts, okay? So these festivals, and I'm talking about these divine appointments with God.
Right.
They're very important holidays that were to be celebrated by the entire nation, not just those who wanted to. These were mandatory holidays, okay? And there's much to be learned from these festivals. So we're going to give you some information that I believe can give you more insight into these festivals, the Passover, the Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles are the seven required festivals that were to be celebrated by Israel. These appointments with the Lord were in addition to their weekly Sabbaths. Okay? Now, these seven festivals can be divided into three categories. And we're not making a doctrine out of it. We're just giving you something to think about. Okay? Peace, power, and rest. Okay? Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits represent the category of peace. Pentecost represents the category of power. And then trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles represent the category of rest. Okay? And you can think about what was done on these particular festivals. So three of these festivals, unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles, required all Israelite males to travel to Jerusalem for the celebration, which signifies to me three mandatory encounters with the Lord.
Now, this is important. We want y'all to remember this. It's going to be on your test. The question is, which three feasts require all males to present themselves before the Lord? And so you're going to want to remember Passover was required, Pentecost required, Tabernacles required.
Now, if you did not do this, those who did not comply with this command were cut off.
Here's why this is important. Passover relates to redemption. Pentecost relates to the Holy Spirit. And Tabernacles relates to the millennium of rest. And you're going to see that on your test. So you're going to also want to remember that Passover relates to redemption. As we talk about each one of these different festivals, you're going to see, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you how the festival either relates to peace, power, or rest. And it's really quite amazing how the Lord has set this out.
You know, if you think about the tabernacles, when what was Israel doing in Egypt before they were delivered? Were they not slaves?
Yeah, in bondage.
They were in bondage. So what do slaves do? They're working.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they were merciless in these. You know, remember they withheld, when Moses went in,
mm-hmm.
they withheld the straw to make the brick?
Yeah.
Because they said the people were too idle. They wanted to go worship God. And so these people are under heavy bondage. And so when God delivers them from Egypt, they come out to rest. They come out of the bondage. They come out of the hard labor. Now they can rest. They don't have a taskmaster cracking the whip over them, so to speak. You with me? This is important to realize that. But it's also important that they comply to keeping these festivals, okay? And they were also instructed not to appear before the Lord empty-handed. And surely there's a spiritual truth to this command. We don't want to go before the Lord empty-handed. Okay? And there's more to giving to the Lord than just money.
Absolutely.
A lot of people give money, but they don't have time. Or they have talents that they don't want to give to the Lord because of all whatever's involved. And so,
another thing is, too, is the fruit of our lips, the thanksgiving that we offer to the Lord that's pleasing to Him. We should never come before the Lord empty-handed because we should always have thanksgiving on our tongues to offer to the Lord.
It's called a sacrifice of praise. It's not making yourself do it. The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of your lips giving thanks. Okay? I'm telling you, I can't imagine going before the Lord without not being able to come up with something to give Him thanks for. That's usually not the problem. It's, and I don't know. This is just a way of life to me, because I believe this. I see it happen all the time. And so consequently, it just comes up on the inside of me. Father, I thank you for your goodness, for your wonderful works with Jonah men. As a matter of fact, I thank you for your wonderful works to me, with all the things you've done for me. God does things for us daily. He daily loads us with benefits, is what the psalmist says. And that's been misconstrued from greedy minds wanting to accumulate. No, we're daily loaded with the benefits. You think of all the benefits that come through Jesus. I mean, the benefit of eternal life. He is my life. You understand? And you thank him for the guidance, the direction, the wisdom, the understanding. You know, we were looking at something this afternoon here in Leviticus. And I told Heather, I said, she was asking about it. I said, I don't know what it means. And then she left to do the teaching this afternoon. And I sat there and I said, Lord, I need revelation. Oh, what does this mean? I don't know what it means. And by the time she got through with teaching, she came, I said, I know what that means.
Thank the Lord.
He daily loves us with benefits. I'm telling you, revelation is a wonderful thing to give you understanding into the Word of God. Oh, that's what that means. And you'll glean from it as we go along, okay? Because I'm not going to withhold from you. I'll share it with you in its proper place, okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay? So, the purpose for these three encounters were to provide divine peace, to provide power and rest, okay? That's the purpose for these encounters with the Lord. Passover.
Before we jump into that, and I don't want to get too much on a rabbit trail, but I can't help but think about recently we had a Sunday service, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was, everybody needs the Lord. We had just listened to a song, Everybody Needs the Lord. And you look at these encounters that provide a divine peace, power, and a rest. And you think about those around you that are needy and that have not yet met the Lord, and how they could benefit from the peace, the power that only He can give, the rest that only He can give. And so as we go through these festivals, my prayer for you and my prayer for me, just like all the other scriptures in Leviticus that we've read, just like every other book in the New Testament, I'm going to keep this prayer before the Lord, is that may we see Jesus in these. May you see Jesus to be able to share with others.
And if you think about this, people may look at this and say, well, how do you get power out of this Pentecost from the Old Testament? How do you get power out of that? Well, he says
power
he gives you
be.
Power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. So what's going on in Pentecost? They're celebrating the harvest that God has given them.
Yeah, that's good.
You understand? And so that harvest is their power to get wealth, if you will. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's given them the seed to sow, and then the harvest to reap. Okay? Now, we know if you take that over into the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts, we know that on the day of Pentecost was fully come, that it was a supernatural phenomenal event that took place. What's happening? Well, he's getting this harvest, right? Recognizing the harvest, how is this coming about? Jesus has made the provision for the harvest. And he had already harvested the first fruits. Right?
Yeah.
Those who had been in the heart of the earth, Ephesians 4:8.
Yeah.
That he relocated paradise.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where we're getting the power from, okay? Passover, when the blood's applied, you have peace with God.
Yeah.
Then you look at the power, and then you look at the tabernacles, the rest. They're not in bondage anymore. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Sin is not controlling me. It's not dominating me. My rest is in Jesus. Okay? So that's where we're coming from with these three words here. Okay? The peace, the power, and the rest. All right? And so, because our time's up, we're not going to be able to get in to this, so we'll come back to it in our next session, okay? And there's much to glean from this. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil, so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.